76. Location shoot. Having dropped Tito and driven on, not far at all along this strip of low-lying auto body repairs and marine supplies, Gareth turned right into the parking lot of what seemed to be a much taller building, one built on an entirely different scale. Behind it, they pulled in beside a pair of shiny new dumpsters and a row of content-specific recycling bins. The dumpsters, she saw, were covered in runny silk-screened multiples of photographic images. She smelled commercial art. "We're location scouts," he said, taking an orange cardboard production placard from between the seats and putting it on the dash. "What picture?"
"Untitled," he said, "but it actually doesn't have that shabby a budget, not even by Hollywood standards."
He got out, so she did the same, and was stunned to discover the brilliantly floodlit vastness of the port, right there, past 12 feet of chain link and some railroad tracks. The lights were like the lights on a playing field, but taller. A grimly artificial daylight. Towering rows of concrete cylinders, smoothly conjoined, like abstract sculptures. Grain storage, she guessed. Some other, much more high-tech sculptor had employed huge, strangely ephemeral-looking black tanks, one of which was steaming, cauldron-like, in the cool air. Beyond these, and far taller, were the titanic constructivist cranes she'd glimpsed on her drive over. Between the tracks and these large-scale sculptures were windowless geometrics and corrugated metal, and a great many shipping containers, stacked like the blocks of some unusually orderly child. She imagined Bobby's wireframe container suspended above it all, invisible, like Alberto's fallen river on the sidewalk below the Viper Room. It generated white noise, this place, she guessed, on some confusingly vast scale. Iron ambience, perceived in the bone. A day here, and you'd stop noticing it. She turned, looking up at the building he'd parked behind, and was again startled by scale. 8 tall stories, its footprint broad and deep enough to allow its mass to be read as a cube. The scale of an older Chicago industrial building, alien here.
"Live workspace," he said, opening the van's rear doors. "Studio rental."
He took out the bungee-wrapped dolly, unhooking them, unfolding and extending it. Then the long gray case, which he lay carefully on the pavement beside the dolly. He wasn't moving too quickly, she thought, but he was moving just as quickly as he could without actually moving too quickly.
"Would you mind carrying this tripod and the bag?"
He got a solid grip on the black case, grunting softly as he turned with it and lowered it onto the dolly. He put the gray case on top of it, angled against the extended handle, and began snapping it all together with bungees.
"What's in it?"
she asked, meaning the canvas bag, as she pulled the folded tripod out and put it under her arm.
"A spotting scope and an apron."
She picked it up by its canvas handles.
"Heavy apron."
He closed and locked the van's rear doors, bent to grasp the dolly's handle. She looked back at the container stacks, thinking of Big N's pirate story. Some of them were close enough to read the names of companies. Yang Ming, Conch Ship. He hauled the loaded dolly up an incline to a double door that reminded her of Bobby's factory. She followed him, the heavy canvas bag bumping against her knee, as he used one of a ring of several keys to open one of the doors. It swung shut behind her, locking, as she entered. Brown ceramic tile floor, crisp white walls, good light fixtures. He was turning another key, this one in a steel elevator panel. He pushed a button, which lit. Wide enameled doors jolted open, revealing a room-sized elevator walled with splintery, unpainted plywood.
"Serious freight," he said, approvingly, wheeling the dolly in, the gray and the black cases bound with black bungees.
She put the canvas bag down on the paint-spotted floor of the elevator beside it. He pushed a button. The doors closed, and they began to rise.
"I loved the curfew when I was in college," he said. "Still do, I mean, but you know what I mean."
"Thanks," she said.
"Why did you break up?"
"Vans are like marriages, or maybe only good ones are. Who knows why a good one works, let alone why it stops working?"